So as I was praying, I was like, God, what is it that we're going to talk about? And what is it that you're kind of saying to me? And he kept giving me the word love. And I was like, yeah, obviously God love, like love is in everything. We always talk about love. That's just a thing. But he just kept giving me that word over and over again of like, what is love? Like, talk about what is love. And I feel like as I like was on social media and just different places of media that like that word kept popping up. And every time I saw it, it was like this really like really weird definition of how people are defining love or talking about it or treating it. And it's like the world really has no clue how to define what real love is. It sounds nothing like what God says about love. And so I wanted to just take a night. I know it's not Valentine's Day, and that's normally when people do this, but it was just something God was like, talk about love tonight. And it's not for the lovebirds in the room. I don't know about your secret relationships, and I'm planning this out just to like, your friends told me to like drop some truth bombs. That's not what's happening. It's just me and God just talking and him being like, just talk about this tonight. And so here's kind of my crazy train of thought. All right, so just follow with me. God said, listen, one of the most important things I tell you to do as a believer is Mark 12, verses 30 and 31, where he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And then he says, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself, and there's no greater commandment than these. If that is what God's telling us to do, like he's like, let me sum up the entire Bible, all the books of the Bible into two things. And it's love. It's really one thing, right? He's like, with one word, it's love. If it's that important that all that what God wants us to do wrapped up in this word is love, and we don't know what it means, like what on earth will we do as believers in Jesus? How will we ever follow him and obey this commandment? And that's why God kept throwing the word back to me, just saying like, how will we be disciples if we don't know how to love? If we don't even know how God talks about it, if we don't know the right way, if our minds have been sitting in the world long enough that it's been like distorted in our brains of what it actually means, then maybe tonight God just wants to kind of realign us. Kind of like kick out all these like secondary definitions the world's giving us and just be like, this is what I say about love. He says in 1 John 4:19 something really big, because as we talk about it, immediately we start to think like, how do I do it? Right? I want to follow God. I want to like be like Jesus. I want to obey him. So I need to go love. And God tells us through John in 1 John 4:19, he says, we love because he first loved us. So right away, he's like, hey, listen, I know you want to jump up and just go do this and obey me. And that's awesome. He's like, but you can't. Do you realize how big a command that is? To do anything with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. That's everything. That's every molecule in you. That is every fiber of your being, every thought, every desire, every want, all of it. And God says, I want it all. And I want you to love me with all of that. If you're like me, you look at that or hear that and you're like, there's no way I can do that. And I feel like God looks back at us and goes, you're right. There is no way you can do that, which is why we have 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. It's still possible. Just because you can't do it on your own doesn't mean it can't be done. It just means that you don't have the strength in you or enough love in you to be able to do it. You might do it for a little bit, but that fountain of love in you is going to dry up real fast. But here's the thing. When you think about what Jesus has done for you on that cross, the unspeakable love it took for him to be beaten and tortured and hung on a cross to die this horrible death for you and me, the type of love that he had in his heart to do that for us. And that doesn't run dry. I wake up every morning and I think of that, and you know what it does to me? It refuels the love in me. How could it not? It never gets old thinking, Jesus, you did that for me. Like the power of the story of what Jesus has done because of the amount of love he has just doesn't run out. That's a lot better than my love, right? Because my love runs out real quick. I get tired of people. I get bored. I move on. I just run out. But when I'm waking up each morning saying, God, help me love people with your love. Help me love people with the love you showed me first. Man, there is this never-ending fountain of love there. What is it, right? We still haven't answered the question what love is. We just found out God thinks it's really important, so we should know about it, right? So what is love in the middle of a culture that lies to us about all sorts of definitions of love? So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13. And you guys are like, the love chapter, right? Like, we read it at weddings. It seems really poetic. It's really romantic and all that deal. It talks about love. But you know when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13 to the Corinthian church, it was more of like a butt-kicking. He was like, nah, like, this isn't some pretty poetry about love. He's like, you people stink. You're terrible. He's like, you guys are not loving the right way. Their culture looked a lot like ours today, to be honest. This misterming of everything, this misdefinitions of everything. And so what he's doing here is he's correcting it all and saying, look, this is actually what love is, and you're doing the wrong thing here. He's kicking butt. There was division in the Corinthian church. They couldn't even look at each other. The church, not just the town, like the city, like the church couldn't go to church together. They were so divided. They were fighting over gifts of the Spirit, like who had a better gift. Like, I speak in tongues, and like, oh, big deal. Like, I do this. And they're like actually fighting over being more spiritual. It's like, Paul's like, you don't even understand the word of God if that's what you're doing. They're bragging about their spirituality, how much they could love one another. Paul writes this chapter not as this warm, fuzzy thing, right? This talk on love that we sometimes think of it. It is this harsh reminder of how to actually love people the way Jesus does. And so here we go. 1 Corinthians 13. I'm only going to read verses 1 to 3. It's a long chapter, and it's full of awesome stuff. Go home and read it and study it over the next week. But tonight we have time for three verses. So here we go. Verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. If I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Paul hits three really, really important areas right off the bat of ways that we try to like defend our love and the fact that we could be loving. And this is what the Corinthians were doing. So Paul dismantles those thoughts right away. The first thing there, when he talks in verse 1 about these tongues of men and angels, and this was a very desired gift. It was like at that time, these people wanted that, and it kind of held it above the rest of the gifts. So if I spoke in tongues, I was kind of cocky about it, right? Like I was prideful about my ability to speak in tongues over these other gifts, and I would hold it over the other people in this congregation or at that church. Yeah, that's a great ability, right, to be able to do, to speak these languages in a way that you can share the gospel with people that don't speak your language. Like, and it goes way deeper, but like, that's the gist of it. But like, here's the deal. Like, they're saying this gift was more spiritual than this guy's gift that came from God himself. And Paul's like, what are you talking about? If you really understood the love of God and you understood where these gifts would come from, you'd understand that they're used out of love to help other people. This gift was used because you love people and want them to go to heaven. You want them to know Jesus. You speak the gospel to people and the great deeds of God to people so that they hear about their God and they're saved. That's done from love, or it's just, and he calls it this. He says, a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. It's Rob Jones on this drum set back here. Right? Like it's bad news. It just sounds like noise. And they think it's beautiful. You hear the words that were coming out of my mouth? Like, do you hear this beautiful gift of tongues that I have? I'm gracing people's ears with my ability to do this. And Paul's like, you sound like some terrible bass drum. I played bass drum in high school, all right? I use that term so loosely. So I banged a bass drum in high school, right? So I wanted to be in the marching band. I had no idea what I was getting into because I didn't like to march and I didn't really know how to play drums. So, but I was like, I want to be in it. So I go and I like try out and I tried all the instruments. My band teacher's like, try this one, try that one. And I just stunk at every single one. It was like failure after failure until he got to this final thing. He's like, this is the last resort. We can still use you. Cause I was a big dude, right? And so he was like, if you know what a bass drum is, it's like the size of like me. It's like this, it's huge. And it straps onto you like this, and you wear it on your belly. And you just have these, and you're like, boom, 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 boom. That's all you got to do. Like, there are toys in the store like that can do that. Like, it doesn't take a whole lot of talent. So it's like, surely Rob can do that. So he gives me this bass drum, and he was wrong. Like, I couldn't do that either. Like, it was terrible. I would mess up the rhythm, and all the, like, trombones would be looking at me, like, spitting at me, like, oh, you stink, like, stop. Like, I was just horrible, and everyone's going to march to my beat. Literally, they're marching to what I'm beating, and I'm like, like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no rhythm at all, and everyone's counting on me. I can imagine, right, like, Paul is like, listen, you're just a mess. You just sound like noise. You sound a mess, but in your ears, though, you think you sound so good. You think everyone around you is looking at you going, wow, look how close they are to Jesus. Man, they have this gift. They can do this thing. Now, here he's talking about a spiritual gift, right? A miraculous gift. There are spiritual gifts, miraculous gifts. There are physical gifts. I think part of this whole thing is that when we take this thing that God's given us, whether it be any of those different categories of things, and we hold it up here, and it doesn't have love at the center of it, man, it's such a waste. God gave it to you for a reason. Why has he gifted you? Why has he made you good at that thing? Why has he given you that spiritual gift? I think Paul's telling us, so you love others with it. So you minister to others so they hear the gospel, so the kingdom of God advances. It's not about you and making yourself look good. And if you take love out of that equation, that's all that's left is pride. It's like, hey, look at me on the stage. I can sing. I can play music. I can preach. I can, you list the thing, right? Like, I'm out handing out food on the sidewalk to the homeless. Look at me. Take pictures. Put me on Instagram. Like, it's so easy to take these things that are meant for God to love people with and turn them into pride. That's all that's left. Paul says, it's just noise if there's no love at the center. Verse 2, he says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, he says, I'm nothing. Prophecy is this gift to be able to understand the word of God, to be able to look in and be able to see the mysteries. That's why he says, can fathom all mysteries. Like, we read the word and the Holy Spirit can illuminate your mind to understand what the word says in a way that you can teach it to people. Help others understand these mysteries and truths of their God. And then he takes it up a notch. He says, and if I even have faith to literally move mountains. This isn't a promise for you to be a superhero here. This is for us to understand the type of faith that you could have, how big this faith really could be, and still without love, even a faith that big. He says, I'm nothing. You could think so much of yourself with all these abilities, stand on all the stages you want. But if it's not done out of love, it's a wasted gift. So many people just want to be seen as a good Christian, and that's enough. Like, see me as a good Christian, and then I'm still going to go live this and do this. And it's really going to be about me and my heart. And Paul's like, that's such a waste. That's what the Corinthians were doing. Y'all, can you imagine the powerful things God would do through your heart and through your life if you surrendered those gifts to him? If you used them out of love for him and others? What in the world would your life look like? How would it be different? How would our youth group be different? How would your schools be different? Let me get personal. How would your families look different? If we were like, God, this is all about loving you and others. Use whatever you've given me. It might be a little widow's mite, and it might be this huge gift, but whatever, it's yours. Take my fish and loaves of bread and make it something huge. God, whatever you want to do, but it's about love and not about me. Love is looking at God and others and saying, take it. Verse 3, he says, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. And this one is now talking about, he's moving into a different area. You see that? If I give. These people are those that would give everything, right? That give the whole thing. But then he uses this word, I Not I am nothing here. He says, I gain nothing. Why are we giving? What's the motive of our giving and our surrendering and our sacrifice? Is it to put like deposits in this thing for later to try to impress or gain or make something of ourselves? Because he's like, if you're doing it and it's not out of love, like this sacrificial thing that looks like Jesus on a cross, then listen, you're going to gain nothing from it. It's going to be a waste. How are you loving the people around you? You could be the greatest servant there is. You could surrender your body to the flames, literally, he says. That's not fun, right? Like, this is a huge sacrifice he's talking about, a total sacrifice. And still, even having done that, you know what that means? That even if you went to a cross just like Jesus, if you were beaten and tortured like him, if you had the crown of thorns on your head like him, if you had nails put through your hands and feet and you were hung to a cross and hung there like Jesus, but didn't have love in your heart, that cross would mean nothing. There are thousands and thousands of crosses, unfortunately, throughout our history of the world. And only one had the power to save. Why do we think that we can impress God with our sacrifice and not have love in our hearts? Does this mean then that like all I need is love and like I don't have to do anything then? That's what you're trying to say, right? Then I just say, don't do anything then, because that would just be legalism. So let's just love and just stand there and then whatever happens, happens. God will just do this mystical, magical thing. No, that's not what he's saying either. But he is saying this. He's saying that in order for your love to have power, it's got to have action. And in order for the action you're doing to have power, it's got to be done out of love. There's this incredible coupling of the two, right? That love and action together, just like faith and action together, there's power in that. Because if you really love, then you will be motivated to act if your love is genuine. And if you're acting and doing things and it's going to be powerful, then it needs to be backed up by love or it's just empty. And you guys know that I lived in Guatemala. And when I lived there, I helped in an orphanage for a while. One of my responsibilities was I had this small group of boys in the orphanage that I was responsible to teach them God's word. I was responsible just like be there for them, kind of be this like kind of father figure in a way, or big brother figure at the time, like to them, and just like pray with them and like do small group with them and that type of deal. Like they were my group. And there was one kid in there. I mean, they all had hard stories. I'm not even going to get into it, but there is one dude in that group that was, I can't even say his story in a group like this. It was bad. Let's just say that his parents did not love him. It was safe to say they didn't want him to be alive. He was a nuisance to them and made that very clear. That's how he ended up at the orphanage. And so as he's there in my group and he would share stories and I'd learn more about his life, this kid like couldn't know what love is. He didn't grow up with it. He had no one loving him. His parents didn't care about him, wanted him dead. Like this kid grew up without understanding what you and I, so many of us at least in this room, fundamentally just know because our parents show it to us as we grow up. People in our lives that take us in love us. This kid didn't have that. And so there was this one night after a while that I had known him that we were studying a passage just like this one. And we were talking about love and what that was and how God loves us, Father. And all the kids left when we were done and they went to do their thing, but he hung back. And I remember he walked up to me. It was very simple what he said. He just looked at me. He said, I don't think I have anyone in my life that loves me. And then he said, will you love me? Bro, I'm not gonna lie, like I cried like this little baby right in front of him. I probably freaked him out, but like I couldn't take that. I couldn't take it to hear that someone would have to beg to be loved. Someone would think that they would have to go up to another person and be like, please love me. Have that type of void of love in your life. just didn't understand it. And it broke my heart to think that he's not the only person in the world. And that so often, so many of us feel the way he feels. And it makes me wonder how I'm loving the people around me. But the people around me say, man, I have someone in my life that loves me. But the people in our lives be like, man, I know so-and-so is constantly showing me love. And I'm not saying romantic love. I'm just saying love, like brother type love, sister type love, like whatever, friend love. But as a believer in Jesus, we're saying we love others, right? That's the second great commandment. And are we doing that in a way where people would go, there's no doubt that person loves me. They've done it. They've proven it to me. They've shown it to me over and over again. Or am I that Christian that's like, oh yeah, he talks about Jesus a lot, but I have no idea if he loves me. I've never seen that part of it. I've never experienced this love they talk about that you're supposed to get at church. Y'all, you know where they experience it? From us. Jesus living through us is his body to show that love so that there's no doubt in the people around us' mind that we love them and that we get that from Jesus. What if we loved that way? Dude, there would be kids pouring out the back doors. We wouldn't fit them in this youth group if we were loving that way. Our community would be shaken by that kind of love. Your families, your houses, your friendships would be radically different if we actually loved that way and stopped just talking this noisiness. It's fake Christianity. Instead of doing it motivated by the same love Jesus has for us. And sometimes we're the first to quote a Bible verse or preach things to people, and we're the very last to actually put love to it. Wrap our arm around someone when they're hurting, to be there and live out the words that Jesus says and not just speak them. Like, I'm not saying don't preach the word of God. You'll never hear me say that. But if there's no love in it, it's a clanging cymbal. Do your friends know how much you love them? Do you need to send a few more texts so there's no doubt? Do you need to make that call and check on them? Do you need to be there more for your family, the people in your life? How can you love the people that you say you love better? Not in this like legalistic way. It's just simply because Jesus does it, right? And we want to love with the love of Jesus. John tells us in John 15, 13, he says, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Look, John's not telling you guys to go out and die tonight. He's not saying that to go. But what he is saying is that you would put yourself second. That you would put other people first. That you would look at the people around you and say, I want to show you this great love. This great love that I saw on the cross. That great love that rose from the dead, that great love that saved me and is walking every step of my life with me. How can I be like Jesus and imitate Jesus and his love in that way and really live it out? So it's not just love and it's not just action, but it's love in action, right? Like it's both things happening together with the power of Christ. Is that how you love? You see, even though Paul is like kicking but in 1 Corinthians 13, right? Like he's not just writing that fluff, right? It's interesting and really kind of him. Because notice he says all of this in the first person. If I, then I am nothing. I. He could have easily said, you stink. If you do this, then you're this. He could have easily done that. And instead he chooses to go, if I did this. That's showing love right there in and of itself. I wonder if we would hear it, right? Put your name there in the I spots. Like, am I living the way Jesus has called me to live? And am I loving the way Jesus has called me to love? That people would undoubtedly know that I love them. When I was a little kid, I loved paintball a lot. I don't love it so much anymore because I don't like heal from it after I'm done. But when I was little, I loved it. And me and my friends would go out and play. And I was always poor, so I never had a good gun. I always got lit up, so like he would just destroy me. Then somebody gave me this really nice paintball gun, so I was super excited. Got all my friends together. We were going to go to this field. I got a nice gun. This time I was gonna do some damage, right? And so I get my gun. I load up my cartridge, the whole thing, get out there, and I am ready to go. I'm waiting for my friends to show up, and they do. So the game starts. We start going around. I come around this tree, dude, and I have my friend in my crosshairs. I'm about to light him up, dude. I am so ready. And I pull the trigger, and our eyes meet as I do, and the gun goes click. Nothing happens, dude. Like, literally nothing happens. His eyes get big because now he knows, oh, bro, it's on now. So he starts to just destroy me with paintballs. And the worst part is once you hear that little click, all your other friends hear that, and they're like, oh, yeah, like a weak little animal, and they're getting ready to get destroyed. So they all come over, and, like, I just get so destroyed. I have, like, these big purple. I look like I had the mumps or, like, malaria, like, but it was just, like, purple dots all over my body. And when we're done, I get back, and I realize what had happened. My gun did not malfunction. My brain malfunctioned. And so, like, I got my gun all together, and in my stupidity, I never loaded my hopper up with paintballs. So I literally walked out there with an unloaded gun, ready to fight, ready to do this. Like, what a dummy, right? And I'm thinking, like, so yeah, that sounds dumb. And we're like, yeah, Rob, you're the dumbest person on earth. And then I'm like, but don't we do that all the time with love? Aren't we walking out the doors all the time going, I'm going to go love the world. I'm going to go be the super Christian. I'm going to go serve at church. I'm going to do all these things. And we don't have the power in us. Never loaded up in the love of Jesus. We've done it from the wrong motivation. Paul's like, man, you can do all that and it's worthless and it's empty and there's no power to it unless it's done from love. And it's the love that comes from the cross. It's not yours. Loading up in the love of Jesus as you love people and you're living it out. If you miss either one of those, you're walking out powerless, walking into a fight, getting wrecked in the battle. Jesus has called you to love. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, thank you that you are good to us and that you explain what you've called us to do. I pray right now, God, that as we sing this next song, that our hearts would consider your love and would consider what you've done for us on that cross. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you died. Thank you that you rose again. Y'all, as you sit there, just a moment of silence, would you just ask God to show you, right? And say, like, God, push the legalism aside. Push all the rule-following stuff aside and all these works. Just let me just hear from you right now. God, I just want to live for you. Would you show me, like, just in a moment of honesty in my heart, am I doing that? Am I loving for you or am I loving for me? Am I serving for you? Am I serving for me? What is this all about? And y'all, if he says back, hey, listen, there's some work to do in there. There's some pride in that heart that needs to be broke down. Would you have an open enough heart to say, God, break it? God, take it away from me. I just want to be like Jesus.